Oh, hello, Ken, and hello, everyone. Yeah, here we go. The last teaching in Pal Talk. Well, I actually feel a little sad, a little sentimental, a little nostalgic. I first started teaching in Pal Talk in April of 2005. I mean, so this is the fall of 2018, so that's what, 13 and a half years of teaching in Pal Talk? Did I do my math right? So, wow, it feels a little odd, but it's going to be fun going to Zoom. It'll be a whole new experience and it'll be fun. I only have half an hour, so I am just going to jump right in. I'm here to look at I Am That, Talks with Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. And the message I'm in is message number 16, which is titled Desirelessness, the Highest Bliss. But I'm about halfway through the message. If you have the book, I'm on page 46, about a quarter of the way down. We're going to be starting with a question that asks, how does one go beyond mind? Which, even though we're in the very middle of a message, that question feels like a new beginning. So I think it's A-okay that we might not remember the first half of the message from 2 weeks ago. So let's just go from here and find out what wisdom we can pick up from Nisargadatta this evening. So again, the question is, how does one go beyond the mind? And Nisargadatta says, there are many starting points. They all lead to the same goal. I feel like I did read this. You may begin with selfless work, abandoning the fruits of action. You may then give up thinking and end in giving up all desires. Here, giving up is the operational factor. Or you may not bother about anything you want, think, or do. And just stay put in the thought and feeling, I am. Focusing, I am, firmly in your mind. All kinds of experience may come to you. Remain unmoved in the knowledge that all perceivable is transient and only I am endures. So, maybe I haven't read that exact answer. Or maybe I'm reading something again that I've read before. But sometimes Nisargadatta says the same thing to different teachers. So we'll just go ahead and start with this. One thing that I find really interesting about reading this today is that today is the day that many of you have started reading the teachings of Inner Ramana. And Ron, I'm on page 46. And today, you were asked to start practicing the mantra, I am that I am. I heard Nancy say that, it came up in her mind regularly to do it all the way until she got in the elevator. Then it didn't come up again, which I thought was quite funny. But it takes practice to stay with the mantra. When Nisargadatta here is saying, stay put in the thought and feeling of I am, focusing I am firmly in your mind, that's really the same guidance that we receive today from the teachings of Inner Ramana, even though Inner Ramana said, I am that I am. It's really the same teaching. It's so interesting because the truth is what they're asking us to do is not difficult. There are a lot of things I can't do. At least I don't think I can. Like right now, Jacqueline at the retreat house, Hal moved some lights because they weren't in an appropriate place for us. He literally moved lights, and so there were holes in the wall that had to be patched. In fact, he took out fluorescent lights and put in ceiling fans for us. But they're also in a different location. So there were holes in the ceiling where the old lights used to be, which he patched, but he didn't have time to finish them off. So you see what definitely look like patch marks on the ceiling. And Jacqueline, some skills, and she's repairing those patch marks to make the whole ceiling, look like one ceiling without patches, right? Well, I can't do that. In fact, I said, Jacqueline, you don't even want me to help you with that task. I said, tell you what, you do that and I'll create the new web pages. That's something I can do. Right? So I can't do everything. I also, I can't really sing. Like nobody's ever going to invite me to sing the Star Spangled Banner before a baseball game. I can't sing. And I'm sure there's certain things that that you can't do, right? It's just not a part of your personality makeup. But I think this is something we can all do. There's not one of us. There's not one of us that can't do this. Focusing on the I am that I am mantra. Right? The reason we don't do it is the distraction. The reason we don't do it is we find all the things our mental chatter has to say to be more interesting than the bliss of peace. Again, Nisargadatta gives the instruction in a slightly different way. He asks us to focus on I am, and Inner-Ramana asks us to focus on I am that I am. But that's semantics. He asks us not to bother with anything you want, think, or do, and just stay put in the thought and feeling I am. I really think it's important that he says and feeling. In fact, someone once asked Inner-Ramana about self-inquiry, which again, it sounds different, but actually, if you really look at self-inquiry, it's the exact same thing. And someone once asked Inner-Ramana about self-inquiry, and they asked him a question kind of like, is it a thought or a feeling? And he answered, a feeling. Even feeling is kind of a funny word because it's not a feeling like a fluttering in your heart kind of feeling. It's not a feeling like an emotional feeling. It's an intuitive feeling. You have to discover what an intuitive feeling is, but knowing yourself is an intuitive feeling. It is not a thought. And so we're using a thought, I am, or I am that I am. But we're using the thought to find the intuitive feeling of what those words point to, and to be with, to remain with that intuitive feeling. Because it's that intuitive feeling that's taking us to the knowledge of what we are. So he says, you may not bother about anything you want, think, or do, and just stay put in the thought and feeling I am, focusing I am firmly in your mind. And then he says, all kinds of experience may come to you. Like if we want to tease Nancy, we could say, you might get in an elevator. A problem is likely to arise. It's going to happen for a lot of us, people are going to show up and start discussing other things, politics, family issues, right? All kinds of things can happen. He says, remain unmoved. Remain unmoved. All kinds of experience may come to you. Remain unmoved in the knowledge that all perceivable is transient and only the I am endures. That's not hard either. Like I said, I can't help Jacqueline with the ceiling. I don't even want to help her stain the walls. I'm pretty sure I'd screw it up. But I can do this. And no matter what your things are that you can't do, we all have stuff we can't do, can do this too. We can remain unmoved in the knowledge that all perceivable is transient and only I am endures. In fact, we can, you know, he's using the word knowledge. He says, remain unmoved in the knowledge, not the thought, the knowledge. And you have that knowledge. I mean, all you have to do is look. Right now, Regina Dawn Akers is teaching her last teaching in Pal Talk, right? Which is kind of a cool little thing. But in 18 minutes, that's not going to be happening anymore. In 18 minutes, that last teaching is going to be done. Pal Talk's going to be closed. Awakening Together Sanctuary will no longer be in Pal Talk. But the I Am Presence will still be here. Right? Everything else is transient. That's knowledge. You can watch it happen. You know, last week I was in Pittsburgh, Kansas with my dad and stepsisters that I haven't been around since I was 15. You know, talking about good old days when actually I couldn't even remember most of the people they were talking about, but I played along anyway, you know. And now I'm not there anymore. Right? Right now I'm sitting here in my house in Pueblo West, but when I get done teaching, I'm going to jump in the car and go down to my condo in La Vida. I'll be in a completely different place when I go to bed tonight. Everything is changing except for one thing. The I Am Presence. The I Am Presence. He says, remain unmoved in the knowledge that all perceivable is transient and only the I Am endures. We can do that. We can watch everything else come and go. Watch everything else change. And notice, this I Am Presence doesn't. It's always here. It's always present. And it's always what I am. Now, I just said we can do this, but the questioner says, I cannot give all my life to such practices. I have my duties to attend to. Right? That's just a thought. That's just a thought. It's not true. Right? It's a great lie that we tell ourselves. It is not true. Ramana Maharshi says, by all means attend to your duties. Action in which you are not emotionally involved and which is beneficial and does not cause suffering. I have read this before. It's okay, we're doing a review. By all means attend to your duties. Action in which you are not emotionally involved and which is beneficial and does not cause suffering will not bind you. You may be engaged in several directions and work with enormous zest, yet remain inwardly free and quiet with a mirror-like mind that reflects all without being affected. Now, that's not any different than what I read in the Tao Te Ching today. Those of you who happen to hear that, right? We read about being detached in the Tao Te Ching today. This is the same teaching, right? You know, you're going to deal with whatever comes up in front of you. You may look like the busiest person on the planet. You can do that and remain aware, right? Remain unmoved in the knowledge that all perceivable is transient and only the I Am endures. Because that's so true. I want to say so friggin' true. Maybe I'll use a swear word in my last 5 minutes in Pal Talk. That's so friggin' true. You know, it's just so true and it never stops being true. That everything else is meaning and going and I Am is here. Constant, steady, unchanging, unmoving. I can notice that all the time. In fact, I can be wowed by that. It can become, wow, wow, look at everything coming and going. And look how still I am. Look how still I am. The questioner says, is such a state realizable? Nisargadatta says, I would not talk about it if it were not. Why should I engage in fancies? The questioner says, everybody quotes scriptures. Nisargadatta says, those who know only scriptures know nothing. This is one of my favorite quotes from Nisargadatta, and I am doing the same teaching I did 2 weeks ago, but who cares? I love this quote, one of my very favorite quotes. I think I probably said that 2 weeks ago because it was still true 2 weeks ago. He says, "To know is to be." I love that quote. To know is to be. Those who know only scriptures know nothing. To know is to be. I know what I'm talking about. It is not from reading or hearsay. The only way to know is to be. How do I know peace? Be peace. How do I know joy? Be joy. How do I know fear? Be fear. How do I know anger? Be anger, right? So part of the question might be, what do I want to know? But reading it, having intellectual knowledge about it, that's not knowledge. The mind can't be. Only life awareness can be. The mind can't be. It can only think. Only life awareness can be, which means the mind can't actually know anything. It certainly brags about being the great knower, but it can't know anything because it can't be. Just like I can't help Jacqueline fix that ceiling, not if we want it to look good, right? But I probably have a better chance at helping fix the ceiling than the mind does at being. But you can be, because you're not the mind. So you can know. The questioner says, "I'm studying Sanskrit for a professor, but really I am only reading scriptures. I'm in search of self-realization and I came to receive the needed guidance. Kindly tell me, what am I to do?" Nisargadatta says, "Since you have read the scriptures, why do you ask me?" That's Nisargadatta, you know, kind of being a butt. He likes to be a butt. With two T's, right? The questioner says, "The scriptures show the general directions, but the individual needs personal instructions." Nisargadatta says, "Your own self is your ultimate teacher." And he's referring to the inner teacher, right? Your own self is your ultimate teacher. The outer teacher is merely a milestone. It is only your inner teacher that will walk with you to the goal, for he is the goal. And I'll tell you what, that's what we're all about here at Awakening Together. You guys know that, right? We're all about helping everyone to find their inner teacher, so they can walk with their inner teacher. You know, whether you're in gentle healing, whether you're in MPP, whether you have a teaching time here in the sanctuary, these things are all geared to the same thing, to help you find and learn to listen to and follow your inner teacher. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. My goal is to die and not be missed. Because every one of you have your teacher. That's my goal. I want to die. You know, and I don't mean that in any kind of a depressed, sick way. But I'd be free to die. The day that I received my calling to start writing with spirit and teaching what I write, I was also sent to see a movie as part of the guidance. You may have heard me talk about this before. The movie was called Shall We Dance? And there were a couple different parts of the movie that really felt like guidance to me. One was telling me how I would fulfill my guidance. Again, the guidance was to write with spirit and then teach what I write. Right? That was my guidance. And in the movie, Jennifer Lopez, while she's teaching Richard Gere to dance, she says, "Don't think, don't move unless you feel it." And I knew that was my guidance for how I was to write and teach. I wasn't to think, right? This wasn't coming from my thinking mind. I'm not planning what I'm going to write. I'm not planning my teaching. I just show up and it happens. Don't think and don't move unless you feel it, right? I knew that. But at the end of the movie, there was another scene. And what happened in that scene was, Richard Gere had helped a lot of people kind of come into their own in the ball dancing story, right? People had let go of the things they needed to let go, had accepted the things they needed to accept, and everybody had kind of come into their own. And they were, at the end of the movie, he leaves the ball dancing family. He leaves. But he's on a subway going by or a train going by, and he looks up into the ball dancing classroom, and he sees them all there happy and dancing, And I knew in that moment, I had no idea NTI was going to happen, Inter Ramana was going to happen, Awakening Together was going to happen. But I knew that that scene would be fulfilled in my life. I still don't know exactly how. But when I say I want to be free to die, I'm talking about that scene. That scene where whether I physically die, whether I, awaken to the first principle of God and just, see so incredibly different that, that I couldn't even imagine what it is, whether I retire and travel around the United States with Ron, doing whatever he wants to do, or whether it's something else, I don't know. I don't know what that scene looks like. But I've always known that that scene would happen. Or somehow I wouldn't be there anymore, and it would be great because no one would need me. That's what Awakening Together is all about. It's about getting everyone in their own groove with their own inner teacher. And they can all dance together and be happy together, just like we're in that scene. But everybody is self-reliant with their own inner teacher. Nobody needs anybody else for the teaching. Right? That's what Awakening Together is all about. So Nisargadatta says, your own self is your ultimate teacher. The outer teacher is merely a milestone, right? And we could even say a stepping stone along the way. It is only your inner teacher that will walk with you to the goal, for he is the goal. Now the questioner says, the inner teacher is not easily reached. Nisargadatta says, since he is in you and with you, the difficulty cannot be serious. Look within and you will find him. And of course, we understand that people believe the inner teacher is hard to reach. Now, I think you guys are definitely getting over that idea, because I haven't heard that from any of you guys for a long time. There was a time when people used to say to me, well, Regina, you have a connection, but I don't. You hear spirit, but I don't. Now, fortunately, I haven't heard that in a long time, so I think that idea is dying. And I think it's great. Because it's not true. And this is the same idea this guy has. The inner teacher is not easily reached. And Nisargadatta, since he is in you and with you, the difficulty cannot be serious. Look within and you will find him. And again, that's what MPP is all about. That's what gentle healing is all about. That's what taking a teaching slot in the sanctuary and teaching is all about. I heard Hank mention earlier today that he contacted me because he was disturbed and wanting to quit after, I think, just two teachings, because nobody showed up to his teaching a couple weeks ago. It was just him and Ken in the room. And I'll tell you what I told him. I said, that doesn't matter. I said, it doesn't matter at all. The teaching has nothing to do with them. I said, as a matter of fact, today was a really slow day. I only had I think three people in the room for my teaching. I was talking about the I Am That teaching, the one I'm now repeating, by the way, because you guys weren't here 2 weeks ago. I said, I only had like three people in the room for my teaching. I usually have about eight. I said, but that doesn't matter. It was a great teaching for me, right? It was a great teaching. It doesn't matter if anybody else heard it. I heard it. And I told him, I said, that's what your teaching is all about. You don't go in there and teach others. You go in there and open your mouth so you can hear the inspiration coming through you, teaching you. I told y'all that I had that guidance, right? To write with spirit and teach with spirit. What it said to me was that that was my path. That is how I would learn. It didn't say you're going to go out there and be a great teacher. You're going to write books. You're going to start a church. They're going to admire you. That would have been ego. It asked me to write with spirit and teach what I write because that is how I would learn. That's exactly what Jesus did with the disciples in the Bible. He sent them out two by two to teach so that they could learn to rely on Spirit, so they could learn to hear Spirit. That's why we give you a teaching slot in the sanctuary. If other people happen to hear you, great. If they happen to be inspired, great. But your teaching is about you. Today, Jacqueline wanted to teach from today's message, right? The commentary on mind. And then her friend, just 2 hours before her, Anne, decided to teach on the commentary on mind. And Jacqueline's like, oh my God, that's what I was going to do. She'll still do this. And I told her, yeah. It's your teaching for you. Go for it. And you know what? Her teaching of the commentary on mind was just as brilliant as Anne's teaching on the commentary on mind, and they weren't the same. It doesn't matter if every single one of us teach from the commentary on mind today. It doesn't matter that I'm teaching the exact same section in Nisargadatta that I taught 2 weeks ago by accident. What matters is that we show up and let the present moment inspiration come through us right now because that's how we awaken ourselves. That's how we find this inner teacher that is with us. Journaling, contemplating, meditating, teaching. Right? That's how we find this teacher that's right here and that walks us to the goal. The questioner says, when I look within, I find sensations and perceptions, thoughts and feelings, desires and fears, memories and expectations. I'm immersed in this cloud and I see nothing else. And Nisargadatta says, that which sees all this and the nothing too is the inner teacher. He alone is, all else appears to be. He is your own self, your hope and assurance of freedom. Find him and cling to him, and you will be saved and safe. Listen to that advice. Find him and cling to him. That's what awakening together is all about. And I hope no one thinks it's about anything else. In fact, Awakening Together was born out of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the Foundation for the Holy Spirit is still our legal name, right? And the Foundation for the Holy Spirit has a mission. It has ever since it was founded in April of 2006. And that mission is to help others become self-reliant with their own inner wisdom. And Awakening Together was just born as a tool to help that happen. MPP was just born as a tool to make that happen. Gentle Healing, a tool to make that happen. Pal Talk and soon to be Zoom, a tool to make that happen. And I really appreciate that you all are stepping up to the plate. As I scan the room and I see who's here now, I know how some of you are stepping up to the plate. And I appreciate that because that's really what this is all about. And that, my dear friends, is my last teaching in Pal Talk. So, I'll see you guys in Zoom. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for showing up. Big kiss to Pal Talk. You know what? I mean, we've complained about you. But you have been a very, very good friend for a very, very long time. And as a tool, you've brought us very far. So thank you, thank you, thank you, beloved Pal Talk. And Dove. Dove. Because if it wasn't for Dove, none of us would be here. He's the one that brought us to Pal Talk in the first place. All right. Bye.